This season of Labcast is actually brought to you by Wix. If you have never heard of Wix, if you don't know what they are a website that helps you build your own website. They provide beautiful, gorgeous, interactive templates, including an awesome new template just for podcasts. So if you are listening to this and you're like, oh my God, I have a podcast. I need a website. We encourage you to go visit Wix, check it out, build it, and then holler at us on social. I'd like to see your website. Check out Wix. Hello, Labcast listeners. It's been a long time. If you're new to the show, I'm Ro. I work at the NYU Production Lab, which produces this podcast. We're so glad to be back in the studio. We've got the whole crew. The NYU Production Lab and our podcast team actually had quite a summer. We partnered up with Wix, who's sponsoring our season, and they helped us launch our first ever podcast incubator. We took 7 brilliant creators and helped them develop 6 projects. We took them from idea to polished pitch and first episode in like 8 weeks, which is crazy. If you know anything about podcasting, that is like a nuts thing to do, and we did it. So, you know, pat on the back for us, but also for you. So this season, you actually get to hear about all 6 of these projects and meet the 7 creators that we worked with. We are so excited to share it with you. But first, who do we have in the studio?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Who are you?
I'm Jeremiah, but I go by Jerry.
Jerry, welcome. What's up?
Thank you. Nothing much. I think it's like my 3rd or 4th episode here.
Yes, it is. But Jerry, for people who don't know you, who are just tuning in, what's your story?
I've been here for a while, but around campus, you would see me usually at the production lab. I helped out with the podcast incubator.
Yeah.
But also at Tisch, I'm part of Views from NYU. Sort of like a variety show. Think SNL, but with NYU students.
Love it. Love it. All right. So, Jerry, I hear a rumor that you are actually producing your own podcast for one of your 2 internships this semester. So what is your podcast about?
Sure. So it's called The Fitch 15, and it's an employee-driven series. So we discuss new initiatives around the firm and highlight the achievements some of my colleagues have won or have been awarded.
Wait, what's the firm?
It's Hearst.
Ah, fancy. Very
yeah,
fancy.
If you know all about their magazines, you know Hearst.
Okay, which magazines do you read from Hearst?
I read O magazine.
Gen Z. I don't read magazines.
No, I read the Harper's Weekly like website, but I read O.
Harper's.
Mom, yeah.
Very nice. Okay.
My mom's always been a big fan of Oprah, so I listen to her podcasts.
But
I watch her
fan.
Shows. So yeah, of course, the O magazine.
Has Oprah ever come into the building?
I've sat 2 like tables away from Gail, so I think that's like my 6 degrees right there.
Yes. Now, Jerry, you also helped us with the summer incubator.
Yes.
So talk to me about what you did for the incubator and how did that change the way? Because I know you started working on this podcast over this, like before we started doing the incubator in the
yeah.
summer. How did that change or affect the way you approached the producing process?
Sure. So being part of the incubator was probably the highlight of my summer to just start off. I learned
are
a
you
lot.
Just saying that?
Of course not. No, this isn't recorded
Aww.
Or anything. No, but I learned a lot from that experience. I helped document the story on the website, on their blog. And I helped with the social media strategy, with the marketing strategy. So that was a lot
of
fun.
We put you to work.
Yeah, but I gleaned a lot from the experience. And I applied some of those skills to the podcast at work. So a lot of work with sound design and voiceover work. And I've gotten a lot of good results from that. Actually, the latest episode we produced.
Which is
like,
so good. You sent that to me.
I did.
We were
so proud.
I sent it to Katie, too. She was proud. We were all proud.
So, yeah, like got, like, the highest ratings for the entire, I guess, series so far. So
get it. We need, like, some kind of kind of, like, sound. So, Jerry, who are we talking to today?
So, today we're talking with Esteban Bailey and Justice. They're a writing duo, and they're producing a narrative comedy podcast called The Florida Man Chronicles. It's absolutely hilarious. Just listening to it had me on the verge of tears. And Esteban and Justice are just amazing and talented writers and amazing people in general. So we'll be discussing their process as a writing duo and how they navigate crafting a compelling narrative.
All right. Welcome, Justice and Esteban. How y'all doing?
Fantastic. Thanks for having us, Ro.
We're doing great. Thanks.
Oh, my God. Of course. Welcome to the show. First of all, You're both recent, fairly recent NYU grads. Is that right?
Oh, very, very incorrect for me, but very correct for us.
Yes, yeah. Very correct for me.
Okay, all right, so correct halfway. Me. When did you graduate and where did you study? What did you study? Give us the lowdown.
I graduated last year in 2018 from Cinema Studies, Tisch undergrad. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
And I actually took, I worked at NYU for several years, and I took SPS classes while I was there.
That
so,
is the smart way to do it.
Oh, thanks.
Very
it was,
savvy.
it was a great financial choice, which I really appreciated, but I took screenwriting classes. So,
nice.
And I just found out that SPS graduates also get to qualify for a lot of like really awesome NYU residencies. So
yeah.
SPS grads out there. Check it.
Woo, woo. Yes. Awesome. So I think like most people, when I talk to most people who have formed like writing teams, they met in their program, right? And like that's how they got together and got to know each other and like amazing things started popping off. So how did y'all meet then if you're in two separate programs many years apart?
So we were both in the NYU Production Lab screenwriting program, which is like a residency program. That's a fantastic program, and everyone should also check that out and apply for it. It's for first-time screenwriters that are grads of NYU schools, and it's any school. So immediately, it's like a group of six. We sit down. I think I maybe said hello to one other person before I was just like drilled in on you.
Yeah, we really, really deeply connected because we both have a very similar sensibility on like the films that we like and our stories. Were basically the only two horror stories or like horror-esque stories.
Wait, what were the stories?
Oh! I'd love to give you my log line.
Please do.
Thank
yes.
you so much. So my story is, or my script is called The Sinkhole, and it's a salacious exploitation thriller set in the swamps and sex dungeons of Orlando, Florida. And it's about a woman who works as a dominatrix, and she goes around, she teams up with a psychic detective, and she murders a bunch of scumbags in Orlando.
Yes.
Mine is not as fun. Mine is a Puerto Rican set horror film about a little girl who accidentally unleashes an ancient evil spirit in her mountain town that actually brings a hurricane. And it's called Los Gritos de Arabuco.
I love it.
So what are you guys working on right now?
Oh, fantastic question. So when we finished the screenwriting program, we both had our separate scripts. But the whole time that we were in that program, we were like, I want to work with you. Esteban was like, I want to work with you. And we came up with an idea for a vampire horror film that's like a teen vamp queer film. And we got pretty far on that while we were still in the first residency. And then I saw this email come out for a podcast residency. And I was like, Esteban, I've already entered us in. It's too late. And I was like, we have
really
to come up
no
with
choice.
An idea.
But it worked out pretty well. I mean, we came up with the idea of the Florida Man Chronicles, and that was a pretty awesome experience trying to like craft a pilot out of that and trying to work on that, and it was awesome.
So what is the Florida Man Chronicles?
Oh god. The Florida Man Chronicles is kind of a serial parody of this journalist character whose name is Jonathan Ruiz, who's trying to investigate what is the Florida Man, who is the Florida Man, which you want to talk about a little more.
So the Florida Man crimes, I'm sure that you're familiar because I've been talking about them a lot, but I found them really interesting and very funny. So it's like pretty much a meme at this point that any ridiculous crime that comes up in a headline in the news stories was pretty much caused by a man in Florida. So Florida man eats a bunch of chicken nuggets and then throws up in the child's face. Or Florida man finds a human skull and uses it as a puppet in like a Publix.
Or like Florida man kills someone with kindness, what he calls his machete. So like a lot of crazy crimes. And the kind of the genesis of the idea is that this character wants to figure out if all these crimes, they're all by this Florida man. What if this Florida man is actually just one person? So he goes all across the state trying to figure out if there are any connections between every single Florida man crime. And there is, but, you know, that's a spoiler for the rest of the series.
All right. Gotta stay tuned. So, like, I want to talk a little bit more about your writing styles individually and, like, how that works when you come together, right? Because, like, the way you described your project, that was so distinct, and the way you described yours was super distinct. So what does that look like when you're trying to make one voice?
Well, I can say for this like teenage vampire film or the one that we're working on right now is that I think we both come up with an idea for the structure, the outline, what we believe the story events are going to be. And then usually what happens is Justice will kind of take first stab at it and really go into it and try to do a lot of crazy things and let's see what happens. And then I'll come in from behind and just kind of edit it and like talk about it and see what parts of the structure are working, what parts of the characters are working. And, you know, just trying to focus on what I think is my best strengths as a writer is just like how the story is going to be told. But I think it's, I don't know about you, I might be totally wrong about this, but I think it's been working out pretty well for us.
Oh yeah, this is the end of our writing relationship. We're breaking up on this podcast right now. Get out of my face. No, it's fantastic. I think that Florida Man was a little bit different mm-hmm. in our writing process, but, you know, I feel like in trying, we tried a different method than what we had been working on. We tried simultaneously just like pounding something out in a locked room. I'll tell you something, our first draft, not as strong that way.
Not particularly, no.
We figured out how we shouldn't work together, but then we got back together and we did like, we do a ton of whiteboarding. Mm-hmm. We both are.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, I love that question. Fantastic question. Esteban is incredible at structure. Like, he's a master. And whenever I feel like I'm good at, like, pounding something out, doing something fast, and writing a bunch of jokes. So we just, like, wrote, you know, a very standard, like, three-act structure for our first episode. And then tried to figure out ways to like mess it up a little bit and like try to make the structure a little bit more interesting, but make sure that we're still sticking with like our characters and giving them setups and payoffs, kind of like just general things that we should have done kind of the first time rather than just sort of writing a script from beginning to end. Not recommended.
Very true. But to be fair, we only had a little bit of time to try to make the first draft of it in the first like episode.
Yeah, right.
However, you know, it was a pretty cool learning experience because we were trying to make a show that was all about the humor and just about the jokes. But then it was, you know, getting the feedback that we got and actually looking over our work, we decided that we really wanted to have something that was more character based. And every subsequent draft had more of the characters and what they want and what they wanted to do and who they are. And that was just really rewarding to try to like identify what's really the thing that's allowing us to want to tell the story and like what want, you know, what's the want there.
And the like humor becomes so much more powerful that way.
Mm-hmm.
The jokes are not just like SNL style, like jokes for the sake of jokes. Even when things got really silly, I feel like because you had these characters to come back to, I feel like the humor, just everything just started working much better. When I was thinking about trying to find a person to like compliment my writing style, I think it was just, you know, finding someone that you like in a mm-hmm. general way because you're spending a lot of time with them, but also someone that's like able to like compliment you in every way.
I would definitely agree with that, especially because you do spend a lot of time with a writing partner, a lot of time. I mean, Justice and I, at a certain point, we're seeing each other like 3 or 4 times a week, just working on like 3 separate projects at the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, finding a writing partner is pretty tough. It was tough for me, and I find it really rewarding that I was able to find someone like Justice. But I would say that it's so much easier to have someone there who's like in the room with you and just is, they're also banging their heads against the wall, but then also you can kind of take a break and talk about like The Witch or some Parasite or some new movie that's coming out and just kind of get out of it. So
how do you deal with creative differences that might arise? Because you said you're like working on 3 different projects together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess this is me, but I don't think we've had like any major like totally terrible creative decisions or differences, sorry. It's more that we have very strong points of view and very strong sensibilities. But I think, and this is just from my point of view, Justice is very good at listening to what I'm thinking, and I try very hard to listen.
Wait,
is this
why
wrong?
Are you laughing? You're like,
I just like, it's so diplomatic. I love that. No, it's true.
It's
yeah.
absolutely true. Yeah. Like, I'm a very stubborn person, but I try really hard to listen, especially because Justice is really smart about like what kind of things work and what stories are going to work. And we haven't had any really major creative differences, right?
I feel like because we have a really high level, we come in trying to bring our like best selves into mm-hmm. the writing room. And I think that there is like, we're pretty professional with each other when we're in there.
I would say so, yeah.
Aside from taking like occasional Google breaks to like talk about movies, which kind of breaks whatever
what are you talking
tension.
About? That's very professional.
I can just think of one instance where I threw out a suggestion that I immediately, because, you know, as soon as you come up with an idea, it's your baby and the best idea that anyone's ever had in the history of the world. I threw out an idea and you kind of like wrote it on the whiteboard, but I could tell that it was like, it was just kind of scribbled. It wasn't going to be on the table. And I knew that. And then you did this thing that I'll never forget, which is you're like, I was like, hey, I feel very passionately like this character needs to do this thing at this time. And you were like, all right, make an argument for it. And I didn't have one because it was like not a very strong idea. And it wasn't like him asking me that question at the time. And then it became kind of a standard for us. Mm-hmm. Like if we believe that a scene should go very differently or characters should behave very differently, we both like collect our arguments. And then usually in that process, we're able to like dig into each other's ideas a little bit more. And I feel like we both concede based on that, because then it becomes us working through problems and not mm-hmm. us being like stuck in different corners.
Yeah, it's not about ego. It's all about trying to make the best possible work and just trying to elevate everything as best as possible. I know I've had a lot of ideas where I wrote on the whiteboard and I was certain that it was going to happen. And of course it didn't, because they weren't any good. And, you know, I think it's a real push and pull, but it's always very important to just try to like understand why you're doing something or why you're creating something, and listening to your creative partners and your creative like collaborators. Because like ultimately the most important thing is to create something that's good and listenable, watchable, whatever, just because, you know, that's what everybody else is going to be there for. So
like, I know the process was really intense. It was structured to like last 8 weeks, but you have to like bang out a complete episode. And I think originally we were like, and a trailer and a polished pitch, like not messing around. Obviously renegotiated some of that, but like you kind of touched on it, your process and how you approach banging through all of these drafts. But I heard a couple times you guys mentioned this page one rewrite, like every time.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That's my fault. Sorry.
Talk to me about that. That's hardcore.
I was so excited by that, actually, because I think that like, sometimes, like, a first draft is just, like, it's just, like, throwing up when you've had too much to drink. Like, you just got to get it out of you. Like, it's like a demon possession. And then once, like, whatever it's there, I like, take a highlighter and just be like, all right, what do we keep? And for our first draft, I think we kept the character's name and maybe that's it. I think we kept, like, two jokes and then everything else went. And it was great because it pushed us so hard to do a great, like to really focus on structure and really take it to the next level. It's like a drug when you start doing a page one rewrite, because I'm sure that there's a bell curve to this, but every time that you do something again, you get better at it, right? Like yeah. You're probably not making it worse, especially if you've got mm-hmm. a great partner who compliments you in skills and like great readers. Yeah, and it's pretty brave, and it also feels really punk to just be like, yeah, you know what? Duh. Destroy that draft and all those hours.
Yeah, I mean, I love page one rewrites. Everything I write, I always do a page one rewrite for whatever reason. Alex Ross Perry one time came to our screenwriting development studio, and he had this really interesting advice that whenever you're going to do another draft of your screenplay, you should just open up a new final draft or a new Celtics or whatever you're using, and then just start retyping your script, and just you're going to find some changes there.
Oh my God.
Which I really took that to heart, because it's like, you know what? That's actually a very useful way of identifying what's important about your story, what's important about your script, what's important about your characters, because when you're retyping it, you know, why am I retyping this? This is not worth it. Or like, no, this isn't the right thing to put here. And then you just let your imagination run, and then it's a really simple way of like, how do I start the second draft and how am I going to start like a real page one rewrite? It's just right. Like, just retype it and then see what happens. And unfortunately,
just retype it. I've forced 20 pages.
See, this is why I say it's my fault, because I've forced Justice to do this a few times and I feel terrible every time I do it.
I can only think of it was the final Florida Man rewrite where we finished it and I was like, we have something, like, this is gold. I feel like I held the script up above my head. And he was like, yeah, I think it just needs one more rewrite. Like, it was like after we had been like prepping the pitches, mm-hmm, practicing, mm-hmm. We had our jokes down. Like, I was like not sleeping, trying to make the website. Like,
which looked amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you,
Wix. Yeah. You know, we thought that splitting up the work between two people was going to be like a dream, but I'd say we got just as little sleep at the end as everybody else.
Oh my God, yes. That's for sure. I mean, by the time we were getting to the pitch, it was just like bang, bang, bang. Like, we got to do this. We got to get this done. We got to work on the trailer. Oh, how's this working? And then like, it was so crazy. And especially because we had been doing all this other stuff that for like 3 straight weeks, we were just working on just all these different scripts, all these different pitches, talking to people, having meetings. And it's just like, oh my God, I need a break, please. Good Lord.
I think we took 2 days, and then I texted you and I was like, so when are we meeting and writing some more next?
You know, it's kind of it's funny because it's kind of sad now because we're relaxing or like trying to like do other stuff and figure out what we're gonna do. But I mean, it was an incredibly rewarding experience, no matter how tiring it was.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh my gosh, writing, being so challenged, and also being in a room with six other people working as hard as you and trying to like make something as hard as you are. It's empowering everyone. I feel like everyone was like lifting each other up and occasionally tearing each other down when it had to be done. But that happened too. And I felt just like it was electricity in the room. And it felt like, you know, what I thought a writer's room would be like. And I know I have friends in writer's room. They're not like that. But this felt fantastic. It was like that kind of creative energy and maybe exhaustion and a little desperation, but mostly just creative energy.
Mostly.
How are you like creating structure for yourself now that the actual residencies that you went through are done?
Well, okay, we haven't. But no. what we're trying to do, I guess, is we have projects that we're working on our own. And we're trying to set up times where we can meet either at the production lab or in whatever space we can find available mm-hmm. to us. But I think we're in agreement that the residencies were so great for us because they gave us specific deadlines. And, like, you know, it's not about, like, trying to complete something just for the deadline's sake. It's that we're also trying to work with a bunch of other people that, while they're not, like, depending on us, like, we need to show that we're working with them and they're working with us. And it's this kind of, you know, this community that we can't let down. You know, we have to come in there and we have to work really hard. Now it's just us. Which is fine. That's fun. We can have a great time doing that. But like, it is something that I'm definitely going to miss. Just the idea that every so often, every few weeks or, you know, every couple months, like there's always this place where you have to have something ready. You have to be prepared. You have to show to other people. And you also have to be prepared to give feedback to other people. And you have to support people and do all this kind of great stuff. So, I mean, creating a structure after all that is going to be a little tricky. But I think for now, we've been able to do something, some work about it. So hopefully it gets a little more, like, structural because I'm a type of person that loves structure, obviously.
The last two residencies put me in a place where it was a minimum 5 pages a day. And even if they were crap pages, it was just like, I wake up early enough in the morning so that I can get 5 pages out before my boss walks into my office because I have a day job. He's caught me writing scripts now like 6 or 7 times. And he started like leaning in and looking at them, especially when I was working on the Florida Man. So like everyone knew about the Florida Man because, you know, I got to kind of bring him in on the secret so he doesn't fire me or whatever. So that happened a bunch. But like a minimum 5 pages, even if it's trash for me. And then I try to do like at least a half hour of like the administrative work, especially with podcasting, like administrative work, outreach, spreadsheeting, Instagram posting, social, like you're your own small business. So that's like really, I try to split my time between mornings creative, afternoons administrative. And I can do the administrative stuff when I'm like drinking a beer. That's what I allow myself. But yeah.
I do love the 5 pages a day thing. And this is like, even if you're not working on anything, if you want to be like a writer or you actually want to try to work as a writer, you have to write every day. Because like, if you don't write every day, your fingers are going to like forget how to type. And it's, you know, it's a type of thing that it's so difficult. It really feels like sometimes you're just pulling a nail out of a finger because it's just such a, you have to put everything into the page, but then also you're going to hate it always, no matter what. So you have to force yourself to constantly be working every day or else you'll never get anything done or you'll never be able to be creative because it's just terrible. But it's great. You know, that's why we all want to do it.
So you both had film backgrounds. So how did you navigate transferring that over into the podcast realm?
I love that question. It was so much fun. When I started writing films, I would write like $30 million movies without realizing it very easily. I was like, wouldn't it be really cool if we had like an airplane in this scene? And like airplanes are like a no-go for every studio picture. I found that it was like a huge release to be able to do the like I could change. We, when we were writing Florida Man, we changed scenes very often. We changed settings. We put characters in cars, even if they didn't need to be in cars with the story, just because it was like, oh, that would be a blast. And then came the day when we realized that audio editing and Foley work is actually incredibly complicated. And if you wanted to do something like have a bird hit the side of a house, you had to figure out how to make the sound of a bird hit the side of the house. And it is possible, but it was like quite a feat.
Yeah, it's definitely a little tricky. But, I think the thing that I really loved about kind of transferring filmmaking skills into like the podcast world is that, you know, whatever you imagine, you can at least do it if you have a microphone and a computer. And it was really cool to just like not feel any kind of constraint. And also the fact that like we could test things out and we could just see how they sounded. And we could just see if the story was working really quickly. Because with a film, you have a script and you want the script to work and you read it and you're like, okay, the script is fine. But when you go out to shoot it, like it could totally fail. And like everything that you shoot could be awful or whatever. In case it does work and everything you shoot is glorious and it looks amazing, you go into the edit room and nothing's working. The pacing's all off. The acting's not working. It's just, you know, there are so many steps that you have to take before you can even really see what your project is going to be. But with audio, it's just, I mean, we did this all the time where we would write a scene, record it, listen to it, be like, okay, no, let's throw that out. No, we're not going to use that. We would try to do as much as we can just to kind of experiment while we're writing and doing that kind of stuff. So it was like skipping a lot of the process that comes with like filmmaking and stuff like that to really see if any of our work was actually working. So I thought it was actually really unique. Plus, transferring from film to audio, you don't have eyes, so you have to really try to think deeply about, okay, how am I maintaining attention, but also how am I creating character through what they're saying, but also what they're doing? How do I keep action so it's not all people talking, you know, right, which is really tricky.
So I guess what's your biggest challenge in crafting characters?
I think it's just like knowing the characters, learning the characters, learning who they are. You can have an idea for a character, but a character is not a person until you really like kind of they start talking to you in your own head. You kind of have to have like schizophrenia when you start writing a character because they have to tell you what they're going to do and like what they're thinking and what they're feeling and all these kind of things, or else like you're just going to get stuck just like, okay, what should the character do in this scene? What should, you know, whatever. That's not like a fun way to write. Writing is cool because you're just letting yourself be free and just like writing down what you think is going to happen in a certain setting, in a certain time, with certain people. For us, how we approached writing characters for Florida Man was that we crafted a character in Jonathan Ruiz, who's the main character, the reporter, who's this earnest kid who doesn't understand why there's these crazy crimes happening in Florida. He doesn't understand he doesn't get the Florida Man meme. He doesn't understand why it's only in Florida, why it's not in Georgia or Alabama or other places like that. So we really kind of identified this as like, that's why we want to tell this story. He's kind of talking to us. He wants to figure out why all of this is happening. And from then on, when we identified that character and we identified his foil, which was Jesse, who's his podcast producer, we really were able to allow it to feel like a real story of characters who are trying to understand something about the world that they don't know. And us as writers, we don't know. So we're trying to investigate that as well. Although this is all sounds very serious for what is ostensibly a comedy podcast that is very, has a lot of silliness to it. But it's important to approach character as seriously as you can, or at least in a way that you want them to feel real, because people want characters that are real.
I had a playwright that used to tell us to take your characters on a date, and I always thought that was BS, but they do stay with you afterwards. And I think that that's something that really helps you, and that like tension is built between relationships with another person. So if you're having a hard time defining a character, like make it specific and then put it up against another character. And I think that'll help you. That'll get you there.
Conflict is great for characters, and conflict is great for stories. So it's like figuring out that secret sauce is oftentimes the thing that will make anything work, which is always kind of cool when you find it, or like when you want to find it, or when you're looking for it.
So what's next for the Florida Man Chronicles?
So we have a fantastic and almost perfect draft right now of the first episode.
One more page, one rewrite.
One more page, and then we're good. So we're shopping it around right now, and we're talking to a lot of people. We're really trying to build out our team, which for us, we know is very essential. We're looking for a killer producer that wants to go on this journey with us and also fill in, you know, us doing audio editing. It works. We can do it. We're both passable editors, but it's going to be so incredible to fill out our team with someone that also has like complementary skills and can work with us on that side so that we can concentrate on story and scripting. So that's our next big move. But we've been taking some meetings and also, you know, having readers, which I think for us was really essential, and casting actors. which is very, very important. If you are doing fiction podcasts, I would like to say right now, if you are not an actor, or if you're not sure if you're an actor, you are likely not an actor and you should not act in your own podcast. You should cast someone who has been studying this craft and is awesome at it, because voice acting is going to help your project and help your piece just elevate it to another level. It's essential.
Awesome. Thank you guys for coming into the studio. Where can we follow you? Where can we learn more about Florida Man Chronicles?
Absolutely. It's at The Florida Man Is Out There. It's on Instagram, and we also have the FloridaManChronicles.com. Got the URL, baby.
Lock it down. Yeah. That's how you do it. All right. Thanks, Esteban. Thank you, Justice.
Thanks for having us.
Right on. Oh, my gosh. I love those two so much.
They were great.
Such wonderful energy and, like, lots of nuggets. Juicy writing nuggets. Something that stuck with me is what they said about, you know, it's really hard to find a collaborator. And I feel like I'm always talking to creatives who are like, I need a producer. I need a whatever. And it's really tough to find that person. And just remembering that it is a relationship. Like, you're obviously not dating, but it is kind of like you're dating. You know what I mean? You kind of have to get to know each other kind of intimately and see if you can work together in that way in order to make it happen. And that's a process. It takes trial and error. And then you might find your one true collaborator.
But also learning how to take a break and how to just step back and just relax and actually be humans with one another, not just writing partners.
Yes, being human. That's what it's all about. Jerry, I feel like we should share with the listeners what we've enjoyed about the Florida Man Chronicles.
I got two words for you. HBO, baby!
All right. They'll understand what that means as soon as they listen to this clip.
Florida man. We've all heard of him. The modern boogeyman. With crimes so crazy, you can only laugh at them or risk total insanity.
Florida man burns person alive to teach them about fire safety.
Florida man seen practicing karate on swan.
Florida man uses human head as puppet.
My name is Jonathan Ruiz, and I work for the Sunshine Times. I've lived my whole life in Florida. I know my home. I've had...
Jonathan, don't cough into the mic like that. Aim away!
Jesse, I'm going to need a cough drop or something. I can't keep up this stupid voice the whole time.
Listen, this is what wildly successful podcasts sound like. You got to have the voice, or else no one's going to take you seriously.
And I've been fascinated over the outbreak of Florida Man attacks these past few years.
Florida man kills individual with kindness, what he calls his machete.
Is he even real? Is he just a bunch of random individual attacks? Or is this something larger? Something more sinister?
Hey, Florida man ain't nothing to be trifled with, boy. He ain't the kind of creature that is governed by the laws of nature.
You be careful now. I may not believe in no Florida man, but I certainly ain't the kind of person who want to find someone like him. You'd be poking the bear.
I believe there are secrets hidden in the depths of these crimes. Secrets that, if uncovered, would shock the very foundation of the state of Florida forever.
At this time, the mayor's office cannot and will not conclusively give an informed opinion on the matter of a police investigation interest.
But do you believe in the Florida man?
Like I said, we don't have a comment on that right now.
Nobody has been searching for the truth about Florida man. Until now.
Jonathan, HBO, baby, here we come!
Welcome to the Florida Man Chronicles.
All right, Jerry, so what is going on with you? Is there anything that sort of needs to be on our radar? Like, what's up next? Where should we, what event should we go to? Where should we follow you? What's on your agenda?
Yeah, well, I guess one thing to keep your eyes out for is, so I'm part of Views from NYU, and on November 9th, we're going to have our live taping. If you guys want to come out to Kimmel Center and just watch a bunch of NYU students make fools of themselves, it'd be fun.
Where will they find information on that event?
So you can go to viewsfromnyu.com. Mm-hmm. We have a whole new team. We're like expanding more, so you'll check us all out. And also, if you want, you can donate to our Indiegogo page. You could just look up Views from NYU on there as well.
Nice.
So yeah, support young local talent.
Yay. Love it. Love it. All right, Jerry, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
We'll catch you on the flip side.
Catch you on the flip side.
So hopefully that episode got you locked in to LabCast. And this season, we're bringing you more creators. We're bringing you everyone who went through our incubator. And they're all amazing. And all of the projects are so unique and just moving and beautiful and hilarious. So stay tuned. Subscribe if you are not subscribed so that you do not miss an episode. We will see you soon. You're listening to LabCast, brought to you by Wix and the NYU Production Lab. Executive producer Katie Shepard, associate producer Anna Van Dyne. LabCast is produced in partnership with NYU Abu Dhabi and the Music Technology and Sound Recording Group. Head of production, Matteo Marciano. Assistant head of production, Yvonne Budnick. Sound engineering by Dabia Begbu, Kang He, Rashid Anuami, Xin Yu Li. Music by Abby T. Special thanks to WNYU and our guests, Esteban Bailey and Justice. Shout out to John Tintori.